KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, we have partly cloudy skies, some sunshine here in the Nishna Valley, and our temperature around 54 degrees here this morning. We look for partly cloudy skies here today. There is a chance of some scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms, and then later on in the day to the evening. High of 85 tonight, partly cloudy to cloudy, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms, and a low of 64. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. Police in Glenwood responded to a shooting incident at 506 South Locust Street on Thursday night. Authorities say upon officers' arrival, one victim, who was identified as a minor, was located and flown to the hospital by Life Flight. Two suspects, who were also minors, were apprehended on unrelated charges, while another remains at large. The incident remains under investigation, and authorities are releasing no other information at this time. The Iowa DCI and Mills County Sheriff's Office are assisting Glenwood Police in their investigation. Anyone with specific information pertaining to the incident is asked to contact the Glenwood Police Department at 712-527-4844. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office located a stolen vehicle near Sydney early Saturday morning and made an arrest. Deputies were advised at 12:58 a.m. of a report of a truck stolen out of Council Bluffs that was possibly in the Sydney area. Deputies located the vehicle on Highway 2 near 350th Avenue east of Sydney. After stopping the vehicle, the driver, 57-year-old Ralph Peterson of Council Bluffs, was arrested for theft first degree and theft fifth degree. He was taken into custody without incident and held in the Fremont County Jail on $10,000 bond. Montgomery County Public Health Emergency Management officials said Friday that three additional cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in residents of Montgomery County, bringing the total number of confirmed cases to 41. Of the three cases announced on Friday, two are elderly adults, and one is an adult 18 to 40 who contracted the virus via community spread and close contact with a previously reported positive case. Officials also announced an additional death associated with COVID-19 in Montgomery County for a total of three confirmed deaths. The number of Montgomery County residents that have been tested for COVID-19 amounts to 1,174. A woman from Lamoni was arrested early this morning in Montgomery County following a traffic stop. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports at 12:37 a.m. a traffic stop was conducted at the intersection of Box Elder Avenue and Highway 34. Upon further investigation, Kylie Licht of Lamoni was taken into custody on a Decatur County warrant for failure to appear. Licht was taken to the Montgomery County Jail and booked in and held on $300 cash bond. Police in Council Bluffs were called to Lake Manawa late Thursday night after receiving a report of a suicidal female threatening to drive her car into the lake, located on the south side of the city. Officers found the woman sitting in her car with the vehicle facing the boat ramp. The woman drove the vehicle into the lake before officers could stop her. Authorities say Officer Porter jumped onto the hood of the car and pulled the female out through the window of the vehicle as it began to sink under the water. Officer Porter and Officer Yuso were then able to swim her to the dock and get her safely out of the water. The female was transported to a local hospital for mental health treatment. Police in suburban Des Moines say two people have died in a motorcycle crash in Ankeny. Police say the crash happened late Thursday night when the motorcycle collided with a car in a city intersection. Two people on the motorcycle, 40-year-old Sean Gum and 35-year-old Amanda Gordon, both of Des Moines, died from their injuries. Police say the 44-year-old driver of the car and a passenger with her were not hurt in the crash. The Cass County Board of Supervisors met on Friday morning for their weekly session in Atlantic. And Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman reports during their meeting, the board adopted a resolution to award a bridge replacement contract to A.M. Coron & Son Incorporated in the amount of $664,562 as part of the Cass County five-year construction plan. Bridge number 433 is located on Olive Street, Cass County Road N16 over a creek from Chicago Road North, 1/2 mile. The engineer noted it will be necessary to temporarily close certain roadways along the project route to facilitate that construction, and they went ahead and approved Board Chair Steve Beyer to sign those documents electronically and the engineer as well to administer the contract and issue those temporary closings that will be necessary. In other business, County Veterans Affairs Executive Director Mitch Holmes gave a report of fourth quarter fiscal year 20 activity. Holmes reports during the quarter, 128 veterans were assisted, federal VA benefits and or local general assistance. And the supervisors discussed a clarification amendment to the contract with Cass County ISU Extension for meal delivery services regarding the length of contract, and agreed to amend the contract by striking out some wording and making some adjustments to it. The wording now says Cass County agrees to provide the contractor with a maximum of $3,648, billable monthly at a rate of $2,280 per hour, in reimbursement for services not to exceed $456 per week until funds are depleted or the program is no longer needed. The head of the Office of Drug Control Policy and Prevention says his office is trying to gauge the impact of the coronavirus on drug use and treatment. Director Dale Woolery says he has heard some talk of problems here around the state.
Anecdotally, you know, we hear that with the social distancing and the kind of the stay-at-home recommendations in some cases, that there is concern that some of that isolation other factors that are related could be a breeding ground for more substance use disorder, and mental health issues.
And Woolery said that they aren't ready to draw any conclusions yet.
It's too early to know if it's substantiated with the data or that we have empirical evidence, but I do hear it anecdotally, and there are some indications. I think even the CDC has, started making reference to this.
And he says his agency is keeping an eye on the situation.
We're actually scanning data and doing interviews to try and see what correlations there may or may not be, if we can tell, between the pandemic and substance use disorder in the state of Iowa, and I know others are looking at that too. I just think it's probably a little too early to have any definitive takeaways on that.
And Woolery says the drug abuse treatments have changed with the restrictions brought on by the pandemic.
You have a lot more therapy and substance use disorder treatment being provided via telehealth. And there again, I think the jury is mainly out on how effective is that, and how does that compare with in-person treatment.
He says the treatment is just one of the areas where people have had to use workarounds to find a way to deliver the services during the outbreak.
The workarounds may not be as good in some cases. In other cases, they may actually be better. It might make it easier to attend or be to access something. The effectiveness, though, is something that I think is going to take a while to kind of figure out, and just how effective is the tele-whatever compared to the in-person whatever.
Woolery says their reviews and the reviews of the data by others should give some better answers on these questions down the road. That's a look at some of the latest in area news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Elaine Ethel Sifkin Pote, age 93, of Stewart, died on Tuesday at Thomas Rest Haven Nursing Home in Coon Rapids. Funeral services for Elaine Pote will be held Saturday here today at 10 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. That funeral will be live streamed on the Johnson Family Funeral Home and Cremation Services Facebook page as well, starting at 10 a.m. here today. Visitations are going on this morning from 8:30 to 10, the start of the services. Patricia Bullock Gipple, age 50, of Lindenhurst, Illinois, died July 14th at home in Illinois. Prayer and memorial services for Patricia Bullock Gipple will be held today at 11:30 a.m. at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Amy Anita Scheimer, age 48, of Griswold and formerly of Creston, died on Tuesday at her home in Griswold. Visitation for Amy Scheimer will be held today from 1 to 2 p.m. at the Reconvieth Funeral Home in Griswold, followed by a procession to the Griswold Cemetery for graveside services at 2 p.m. Natalie Wheatley Merritt, age 53, of Platte City, Missouri, and formerly of Atlantic, died on April 17th at home in Missouri. A celebration of life for Natalie Merritt will be held today at 2 p.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Family requests face masks be worn. Social distancing guidelines will be followed. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. and visitation with the family will be from noon until 2 p.m. today prior to services at the church. Karen Reesberg, age 76, of Griswold, died Monday at Iowa Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. A visitation for Karen Reesberg will be held on Sunday from 1 to 6 p.m. at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. No visitation with the family is planned. Private family graveside services will be held for Karen Reesberg in the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Cemetery in Atlantic. A rosary, Mass of Christian Burial, and Celebration of Life luncheon is tentatively scheduled for March 27th of next year at Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church in Griswold. Carol Schuler Miller, age 70, of Avondale, Arizona, and formerly of Atlantic, died on July 22nd in Arizona. Visitation with the family of Carol Miller will be held on Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. A private funeral service will be held. Sharon Pearl Estes, age 77, of Diamond Head Lake near Dexter, died Tuesday. Graveside memorial services for Sharon Estes will be held Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. at the Iowa Veterans Cemetery near Van Meter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here this morning on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.